We're going into something very, very difficult today in our effort to awaken. To most people, awakening seems foolish, unnecessary, makes no sense. I have people who listen to my discourses from time to time. Basically, they just listen to them from time to time. They think they grasp the idea of what the Tao is. I ask them, I talk to them. They have no idea what they're dealing with. None whatsoever, nor do they care. Number 9 is about moderation, and I'll explain it all at the end here with the last discourse. But right now, I want to take the sutra number 9, and I want you to listen to this part of it. Well, filling all the way to the brim is not good, for it will be overfilled. Pounding on the edge of sharpness will not make the knife last. Keeping plenty of gold and jade in the palace makes no sense. One will not be able to defend it. Displaying riches and titles with pride brings one's own downfalls. Everything that he says is something that we just can't understand. Most people live by the crux of the world. They have no apex. They have no sentient soul. And they are not interested in having one. It just isn't anything they are desiring, because their whole idea is to be a YOLO. You only live once. So have as much fun as you can. Have as much as you can get so you don't have to worry about getting. What we don't understand is that money costs. Money costs our life. Money is not bad. It is a wonderful thing. But in the hands of, let's say, someone who is not very wise, it becomes a drudgery. It becomes difficult. It costs them their life. People are always worried about those who will take away our money. This is sad. They succeed maybe in the business world, but they have nothing within themselves. They're always struggling to keep their fortune. Holding one's wealth as the promise of a lifetime is one of the most important mistakes human beings make. And I have found over the years, you can't talk to people about it because they think you're trying to con them or get their money. It just is ridiculous. But this is the way people like to live. In our society, in our country, in our world, we are obsessed with money. Totally obsessed. The whole idea is to gain riches. The riches then seem to most people to guarantee happiness. We assume that a large fortune of money, a large sum of money, would bring us some sort of happiness. But I have found just the opposite in most people. Instead, it becomes a kind of a, what shall we say, an imprisonment. We are a slave to obsession, compulsion. And the more we have, the more this compulsion dominates our life. And along with this, there is that point where we think that we have achieved something in and of the world. We've elevated our place in society and with other people. It plays in our low self-esteem. I have watched people with low self-esteem acquire fortunes, hiding it like a cheat would in a card game or something like that. They just don't want anybody to know what they have. But they want to be the envy of those around them. All of this brings us down. This is what number 9 is about. We don't know how to live in the world, and I'll explain that in the last discourse. We just don't understand. We want fame and fortune, and people think that that will bring us something absolutely wonderful in our life, that we will be happy. We will shine above everyone else. We will have made an accomplishment in our life. Now, you may be poo-pooing this, but it is all true. And I have 50 years of working with people behind me to prove it. There is no benevolence in our giving, in our loving, and in our living. It is sad, but it is true. We don't know how to handle money. Rather, money handles us. Your whole life is defined by it. Take away anything you may have accumulated in this world, and you are left with the person that you are. And you have to look at how the acquiring of money as the means for a lifetime is more important than anything else. You see, we do all these things, and we miss the point of it all, and that is to die wealthy, but without a soul. We did not achieve that sentient soul at all. It is only in the soul that we find the true joy of living. It is not going to be found in our riches, our money. Money costs. It costs us our life. And for the most part, we miss. Now, you listen to me here and you think, oh, he's just jealous because he doesn't have any money, or he needs our support and all of that kind of stuff. And he blah, 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 blah. He is trying to make fun of us. We have to keep our wealth. It's people like him that are dangerous. I hear this all the time from people, and it's never spoken, it's the unspoken. I can tell how a person understands the true art of money by how they give or they don't give. Some people give and it is just torturous for them, just absolutely torturous, and others just won't give. They hide. I have students that do it all the time. They think I don't know. Let me give you a little story. This is one of my very favorite stories on money. In the sermon, the preacher said that a gift must not only be proper in its time, place, and to the recipient of who is going to receive that money and do something with it, but the heart of the giver must be pure. Do you hear this? The heart of the giver must be pure. If there is a desire for recognition or doubt or a return of any kind for what they have given, or just the feeling of superiority because they can give that gift will be tainted. And in the long run, not do the intended good for the giver. Afterwards, one of the listeners said to an experienced senior, I can't see that. I can understand wrong in the heart. Wrong in the heart of the giver might spoil the merit of the gift a little bit, but it doesn't make any difference to the receiver. If a man's hungry, it doesn't matter whether he gets some food from a saint or from a villain. It's just food. Well, the senior made no reply. He began to walk fast on their way home under the hot sun. The junior felt that he would like to stop for a drink along the way at one of the tea houses by the side of the road. But the other hurried past. Finally, they were both sweating. It was a hot, hot day. The senior paused a little and they went to a tea shop. "Wouldn't you like an iced drink right now?" The young man said, "Yes, I would." So they sat down at an outside table. The waiter brought two very large glasses of iced tea on a tray. The junior could see the beads of water condensed on the outside of the glass and his parched throat yearning for a drink. "Just a minute," said the senior. And he went to a little puddle near them. It was dirty. He dabbed his fingers into it. Then he came back and thrust those slimy fingers into the glass and passed it across to the young man and said, "Lovely and cool, isn't it?" This story rings true with me. I have seen this so many times with people. What does money cost a person who is obsessed by it? They're clouded. These people have no sense of their soul, nor do they care about whether or not they even have a soul. They are always difficult people, difficult to deal with, difficult to talk to. They're doubters. They're always doubting. Doubting whether or not to give or not to give. Their hard-earned money, they have their slimy little fingers in their giving. And it makes the drink, well, undrinkable. This is why Lhotse talks about this. The obsession we have with our own happiness. It isn't really money. Money seems to be the means to the pedestrian mentality. It is wanting happiness. It is about changing our low self-esteem to a higher self-esteem. We want to be important. We want to feel good about ourselves so no one can take that away from us. But you see, the way we deal with money, the way we deal with life, the way we deal with all of that without love being involved takes away everything that is meaningful and important. And it costs us our life. What have you gained, as Jesus said, if you have gained the whole world but have lost yourself? Most people don't matter. They don't matter about the things that truly matter. Their life is not a matter of living. It is not a matter of love. It is merely a matter of survival. Trying to alter how we experience ourselves from the sense of our esteem, that is the real problem, not money. It is the giver that is the problem. And if you hoard money, if you hoard your goodness that you could share, that you could help with, that you could do a great deal of seva with, for the sake of your ego, which is telling you, well, I'm not going to get any accolades doing this and giving to that. If you're one of those people that is very hesitant about their giving because you don't want to be taken, you don't want to be fooled, you don't want to think that your hard-earned money is going to someone who doesn't appreciate it, blah, blah, then you miss. Those slimy little fingers, those slimy little intents have a lot to do with our living, and they come back to haunt us. I have friends and students who don't understand why they are miserable. Their life is set up beautifully. They don't have to work. They don't have to worry about where their next penny comes from. But they're miserable. And the reason they are is because you can't cure low self-esteem. You can't cure the idea of thinking that the antidote to your low self-esteem, which is a form of hating yourself, is happiness. Happiness that can be given to you through the guarantee of what you think of as wealth. It isn't, and it won't, and it doesn't. Now, these are things that have made me very popular as a teacher. There are so many people who just look at the teachings and think, he's just trying to get as much out of us as he can. If I were really headed in that direction, I'd have everything I wanted, just like you. And I'd be sitting there just like you. I couldn't talk like this. I'd be just sitting there wanting more, more, more. You see, in number 9, that's us talking about moderation, insight, and what really brings about beauty in our life. And I'll get to that, like I say, in the next discourse. But right now, I want you to understand what imprisons you. Your slimy little fingers in everything. Your intent to get more, have more, do more. Always for a profit. You see, the low self-esteemer is the one who does everything for some sort of profit. They want recognition for something. Remember the story about the man who came to the Zen master? He had a huge fortune. And he was going to give it to the Zen master. And the Zen master said, okay, I'll take it, which went really pissed him off, the giver, and said, you should be grateful. And the Zen master said, it is the giver that should be grateful. If you don't understand why, then you're in the predicament of obsession compulsion. You have missed your entire life. The more you release, the more you will find inside yourself the ability to understand that which annoys you, confounds you. You will find inner peace. Something that most people never find in the course of their lifetime. Not ever, not never. So you have to look at this thing from a different point of view. I know it's hard to understand, and I know what you're thinking right now. I have people who won't talk to me because they think all I'm after is their money. It's so ridiculous. Their obsession, compulsion, their imprisonment to their own ego denies them the ability to awaken spiritually, to understand the manner of love that lives within them. They just have lost their life, and it cannot be regained by living the way we do in obsession, compulsion, thinking that we will cure what ails us within by having a good time, or thinking that we're better than others, or with the idea of not being generous and kind. This is very hard for people. It may be hard for you. This may be something you never get over in this lifetime. Be it as it is. But I'm telling you, it is the path to real meaning. What Lhotse calls the kingdom of heaven. Remember what Jesus said, why toil and fuss? your Father will take care of you. And you are not greater than these things? Oh, yes, you are. Let's meditate together, you and I. I know this has been difficult, and I hope you will forgive me. I want to meditate on this sutra. When men have lost their interest in the Tao, they lose their interest in life, and they live in the hypocrisy of their ego. Sit with that, in the hypocrisy.